It's time for some straight talk. You've got real work to do, but everyone's sucking up the free Wi-Fi faster than a mocha choco double frap on ice. So be your own hotspot. Now with Straight Talk Wireless, get 10 gigs of hotspot data with the Ultimate Unlimited plan. Just $55 a month on America's largest and most dependable networks. You don't have to find a hotspot. You are the hotspot. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Compatible device required. See straighttalk.com.
Allstate is known for quality insurance, but you might not know them for low rates. That's about to change. With Allstate, you can save up to 25% when you bundle your home and auto. You know what else you might not know? The chicken came before the egg. With Allstate, you can lower your rates, not your expectations. Visit Allstate.com or call an agent for a quote today.
In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company, Allstate Vehicle and Property Insurance Company, and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Today's pros need today's tools, and nobody understands that better than the Home Depot. Our app makes it simpler to get supplies ordered and delivered. Our online project calculators cut guesswork and last-second supply runs. Job site delivery puts what you need where and when you need it. And rental puts the right equipment in your hands, but not your overhead. That's how today's pros get more done. New tech, new tools, old-fashioned hard work. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM. KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, y'all.
Heavy rains in and around the area here in Metairie. A little flooding over there in the Clearview side of things in Elmwood. Please be careful if you're out and about driving around for sure. As you know, it is the midway point of your work week.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is.
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me. Let's get stupid.
Today's more about what that camera Wednesday hump day is. What it is.
Shot team, the Digital Underground, head coach Sean of the Payton. Top stories coming up in and around the world of deportes. Jordan will touch on a couple of things. Your responses to our question of the day, which, Jordan, is?
Yeah, it has to do with last night's lottery and where the Pelicans landed. The Pelicans envelope opened at the 10th selection in last night's draft lottery. What would you do with the 10th pick?
What would you do with the 10th pick, huh?
Trade it.
By the way, you have four picks in the second round. 34, 40, 43, and 53. Jordan, do you know how many picks you have in the second round?
What,
second
four?
Round starts at 31, right? You have 30 teams, so 1 through 30.
Overall.
First round, 31 through 60. So again, the Pels have 34, 40, 43, and 53. So right now, the fourth pick of the second round, the Pels have. Then a couple of picks later at 40. Then at 43. Those G League players, are you looking to try to stock that G League team that's coming in and around the area here? Or you're packaging some of those to try to, look, we had Jake Madison on from Locked On Pels. I think he said it best. What was the GIF he brought up?
The dog with the fire, and it's just sitting there drinking his cup of coffee.
And he says it's fine.
Saying everything's fine.
He says it's not fine. So what do you do with this pick? This is one of those instances that I'm not proud or happy to say, Jordan, I told you so, when it comes to the draft and just play. I mean, today's NBA draftable players very rarely are going to help you your first year. It's a 3-4 year project. That's just where we are. The problem is, before we go to Tony here in about 30 seconds, is your star player, as Jake said, is unhappy. What's the plan? What's your identity? Where are you? So can you wait and get a player and hope that he develops into something that can help this core group? Or are you on a two-year window, which means you need somebody now? Make a trade for Cameron Payne or go, you know, somebody like that. Guy to put up 29 points for the Suns, filling in for Chris Paul, had zero turnovers. What do you do? Tony, thank you for calling the Sports Hangover in hour number two. How are you, man?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great. Listening to the show, man, I'm hearing a lot of people say that we don't need guards. I 100% disagree with that. I would honestly say take that 10 pick, all the Laker picks, all the Bucks picks, Lonzo Ball, re-sign and trade Josh Hart, get Damian Lillard, give him anything. Give him anything you can to get Damian Lillard. Like, I'm part. Because one thing we don't have on the team, we don't have a legit leader. And everyone wants to say, like, oh, get Brandon Ingram, get Zion Williamson. They got to be a leader. They're young. They got to step up. So you got to understand, none of these guys won anything in any major level of their career, basketball careers. They have never led a team to a national championship. They have never really done anything in their basketball careers that could say, oh, this guy is built to be a leader. They never had that dog or that fight in them. If you ever watch them, they're like kind of like pushovers in a sense because they kind of give up at the end. I'd say, like, and one thing about Monty, y'all talk about Monty, and which I'm proud of him and Chris. When Monty came to New Orleans, he had Chris Paul at point guard, who was a coach on the court, and he had maybe the best assistant head coach in the NBA at the time named Mike Malone, who's doing pretty dang good right now with the Nuggets.
Sure.
When they both left, Monty Williams didn't have any of that anymore. He lost all of that, and then Monty was kind of exposed of not being a good head coach. After the tragedy, time to bounce back, you know, like, and work under another head coach. He put it together, and now he's in a great situation. You know, that's just my two cents on the matter, you know?
Man, I'm with you, Tony. I said this at the start of the playoffs, back in the first round, Jordan, if you remember, and Tony was on point with this. You better have two things that I've seen as common denominators in these playoffs. And again, we mentioned it with Jake briefly. George's going to give us the details here, but ratings are through the roof. They're sky high, which is fantastic. If you're not a fan of LeBron and the Lakers, and all you've been told is that the NBA can't survive without LeBron and the Lakers. The league's doing just fine. You have all of these young players, but Tony, to your point, they're guards. Like, you cannot have a backcourt or guard play where you're not scoring and shooting and have a shot, right? To make it to the playoffs, much less win the playoffs. And the other thing, Tony, is you better have leadership. I mean, one of the things I hadn't got to yet that I saw last night that really stood out is you heard the story from game one on how Chris Paul FaceTimed and they showed the video of him FaceTiming after game one. And then you saw him yesterday FaceTiming again. Devin Booker was talking to him in the locker room. And then they showed Monty Williams talking to him. But you saw that. And I text Jordan. I'm like, they love that guy. Like, that was a talented team, Tony, last year. They made a good run in the bubble. They went 8-0. But what Chris did was gave them a different level of belief and leadership. And you just see it. I mean, and that was just a cool moment to see the entire team pointing at the phone. Monty Williams is pointing at the phone. And it's that one impact. So to your point, Tony, I'm with you. Yes, this team needs some talent. But I think the biggest darn thing they need is a leader. They've got to get a leader on this team.
Could you imagine if Rondo was still on the team? Like, do you think he would allow them to not play hard defense all the time?
No.
Do you think he would let them push over at all?
Drew and AD frequently mention the impact that Rondo had on this franchise.
So thank you very much for having me. Y'all have a nice day.
You too, man. Have a good afternoon. Stay safe out there. Driving around. That's the thing that stood out to me, huh? That video where you see Monty Williams all happy and you see Chris. I mean, by the way, it looks like he is going to be available for game three in LA. You can expect Clippers. I mean, it's do or die. I mean, it can't go down 3-0. The odds of them for a third straight series being down 0-2 and coming back is going to be pretty, pretty, pretty hard when it comes to that. But listen to George Karl, former NBA coach, talk about the execution down the stretch, because that's what I'm getting at. It's easy to sit here and say, Pels need this. Yes, they need three-point shooting. My goodness gracious, anyone can see that. Yes, they need defensive help. Anyone can see that. Yes, Zion needs to develop his game. Brandon Ingram needs to play defense. Lonzo. I mean, you can, man, execution, that's buying in. We can sit here for days on this show and talk about this coach. The same coach we're going, I promise you, when he's hired, or she, we're going to hear them say some of the following. We're going to have to play hard every night. So we have to give efforts. We're going to have to play on the defensive end. We have to move the basketball. We have to trust one. These are things Van Gundy was saying. For some reason, how it was communicated didn't work. But my point is this. If you're just changing the uniform, essentially, you're bringing another person, they're going to preach the same values. You know why? Because Nate McMillan and Monty Williams, the two teams that we just talked about, it could be blueprints for the Pels moving forward, absolutely preach those values. Defense. Teamwork. Not about you. Effort. Energy. Readiness. Cameron Payne. I mean, think about that. They just lost CP Me. My man comes in, drops 29, zero turnovers.
Cameron Payne.
Pelicans can't get the ball across the half court line. So you can tell me you bring in whatever coach you want. Coach K, the players have to buy in. You have to have a roster that wants to buy in. It's frustrating because I'm hearing players after the game say, I trust in my coach. I trust in my teammates. That's a different locker room that's winning New Orleans, man. It's a lot of, this and that. Hey, how about you try? How about you pay attention? How about you cover somebody? How about you just don't stand on the elbow and watch literally the ball go out of the rim over your head, like move your feet. I know what Terry was saying, that he got tired of hearing Van Gundy say it, but your coach shouldn't have to tell you to run back on defense. Your coach shouldn't tell you you missed a shot, let it go from the first quarter. We're in the third quarter. Like you, that's a roster problem. So if the roster isn't really fine-tuned, I don't care who you bring in. I mean, good luck with that. But here's George Karl, then the coordinator.
A lot of credit to the whole team, executed almost perfectly. I think Crowder's pass was perfect. I thought Zubac got through the screen, almost got the ball. But I mean, Ayton made a nice kind of decoy, and then he went right to the rim. The timing was perfect. The back screen by Booker was unbelievable. And it was just one of those karmas that I think the perfect storm hit. And Phoenix has playoff magic right now. They believe, they trust each other, and they think they're going to win no matter what the odds.
No doubt. The coordinator, what you got, man?
Hey, how you doing, G-Cat?
Doing well, sir.
Hey, the guy Tony was right on point with everything he was talking about. But if they cannot ship some of them guys out to get Damian Lillard, I would go after DeAndre Fox.
DeAndre Fox is pretty good. You gotta convince, again, whether it's Lillard or Fox or somebody else, you gotta somehow convince team to let go of their best player.
Yeah, but I think he's trying to get out of there. And the thing about it, you can win with a young team. You know, with picking up a draft pick at number 10, you got to look at Atlanta Hawks. You got Collins, you got DeAndre Hunter. All those guys was just drafted a year or two ago. With trading them, wasn't they just drafted like a year ago? DeAndre Hunter and Collins and all. So you can build with a young team. You got to get the right coach around them and the players that want to play and that's going to play decent and just not selfish players all about themselves.
You have three guys. You have B.I., Lonzo Ball, and now you're banking on a third player in the top 10. I mean, those other guys that I mentioned, they've had more than three coaches now. I mean, you got to remember they were with the Lakers where they had another coach, and now they've had two head coaches now with the Pelicans, and now they're bringing in, a fourth head coach with Hart, B.I., and Lonzo Ball. So, I mean, when does it get to a point where it's not the coach's fault, it's those players?
Well, I never said it's the coach. Listen, It's some of the coaches' fault.
I mean, you go through four coaches.
Really, listen, it's some of the coaches' fault. Believe you me, it is. But it's also the player's responsibility. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't have to tell them to get back on defense, to play defense.
I know.
You know? It's the philosophy. Yeah. Yeah. You know? So you can't outscore everybody. You can't just have offense and can't stop nobody.
Dude, the coordinator, the other aspect of it, too, is we heard it so many times this year over and over again. For whatever reason, Zion saying we didn't play hard. Man, that's rough because, man, again, you're watching the teams, man, that are here and they're competing for a championship. And that's a common denominator. Those teams are bad.
Think about it. D-Cat. Zion don't want to throw those players under the bus, you know? And you really need somebody that's a dog in that locker room that's going to call them out.
That's what I'm saying, man.
It's easy,
coordinator. I got to hit the break, man. Thank you for the phone call. But I'm with you. Like, the talent's one thing. I think the one thing I'm seeing in these playoffs right now, man, like, look at the impact Drew Holiday's had.
It's passion, man.
Right? Look at what Trey's been able to. Like, you got to have a guy, man. You know? Now, is that going to be Zion? I don't know. Because what I would have liked to have heard in the last 2 weeks or last week is, you know, come next season, this is my team. Come next season, this is not going to – doesn't matter who we have.
Instead of hiding behind all these smoke screens being like
– instead of I'm unhappy that they didn't do this. Does that make sense?
I 100% agree.
I would like to hear him say, you know what? Bleep's going to change in that locker room this year. I don't know. Cajun Goat, I'm going to come to you. Give me your best 3 minutes or so, and then I got to get to Tim Grubbs, who's my next guest, but you're on hold, so I want to go to you. Tim Grubbs next after the Cajun Goat, though, on ESPN Europe.
Clay Young here with John Conroy, the founder and owner of PestOp, your do-it-yourself pest control solution. Got a question for you, John.
Mm-hmm.
How do you control fleas?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm going to give you a secret.
Okay.
If I gave you something to treat the inside that killed the adults, the pre-adult stage, in 24 hours you'd think I was a hero.
That's right.
And in 5 to 7 days you'd think I was a goat.
Okay.
Because you got to retreat. People forget about the pupa stage. They are protected in that stage. They'll survive a nuclear holocaust.
Wow.
So I'm just telling you, it's going to take several treatments to get rid of them, whether you're treating the inside or outside.
I have watched you educate so many people on using your product. Tell us now where we can get it.
In Metairie, we're located at 3512 Severn Avenue next to the Pepper Mill. On the North Shore, we're at 1417 North Highway 190. That's in the same shopping center as Sherwin-Williams and Villery Florist. And on the West Bank, we're on the Palco just past the Harvey Bridge.
Because at Pest Stop,
we can help you with that.
Calvin Braxton Ford is your brand new car dealer in Lockport, Louisiana. They cannot wait for you to stop in and take a look at their big town inventory and small town prices. Schedule your test drive today and let one of their trained sales staff help you every step of the way. Their skilled management team ensures that you'll have a phenomenal experience, whether it be sales, service, parts, or financing. Ford, the number one brand in America. Stop by today at Calvin Braxton Ford, 5878 Highway 1 in Lockport.
It's Mike to tell you for Neil Small Engine Incorporated. Listen up. That's what we did at Gravely. We listened to lawn professionals. Then we brought the professional performance home. Gravely residential zero turn mowers show the neighborhood that you mean business. Zero turns that are as tough as nails operate a comfort beyond compare. We've had 100 years of professional advice to perfect cutting performance. Just drop the deck, put the neighbors on notice. Gravely, driven from within. At Neil Small Engine Incorporated. Locations in Houma, La Rose, and Thibodeau.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back. Coming up in a few minutes, Sons and Four Guys, very popular, apparently a band. It's just as popular and key to them winning as well. Cajun Goat, thanks for giving us a call. Give us your best 3 minutes, sir, and then I'll go to Tim Grubbs, our next guest, about what's going on in the world of baseball. Cajun, go, what you got?
All right. I think with the pick, if you got the 10th pick and you could pick up a great guard, I think, you go get a more veteran seasoned guard, because this team definitely needs a leader. And your point guard is the leader on your team, and you see that in the playoffs, Gus. Now, as far as the coaching hunt, look, I said it last year. I said, you know, we had to settle for a coach. All the good coaches were gone by the time Griffin decided to make this decision on Van Gundy. Mm-hmm. And it seems like they're dragging their feet again. I don't like the candidates that's being mentioned. I think, you know, you have a team that knows some coaches, and you got some great coaches. Why would you keep Fred Vision? Why would you keep Teaspoon? Well, you keep them because they're great coaches, but they're not great enough to run your team. If you do it within the organization and these guys are already used to dealing with these people, it makes it an easier transition, and I think these guys can be great coaches. I mean, just look what Fred Vision's done with Lonzo's shot compared to when he came from the Lakers. So you need to make this big hire, that hire, this hire. You need to make the hire that's going to be good for the team. And if you're not looking within the guys that's been working with them and that they respect, then, you know, you're just going to hire another dud, and it's only going to last a couple years, and then the guy's going to want to leave. So that's the kind of way I feel about that coaching situation. John, have a great day, guys.
I hear, man. Thank you, Cage Goat. Appreciate the time, man. Appreciate it. We'll continue this, so we'll have open phone lines here coming up after John Hendricks at 1:30. So 1:45, we'll open up back the phone to get your opinions here. But Mr. Tim Grubbs, literally, Jordan, that's how you talk to him on Twitter, at Mr. Tim Grubbs. He gave himself Mr. Tim Grubbs on Twitter. Sir, how are you today, man?
Oh, I'm doing all right. How are things back there?
Well, you know, I'm happy that I've gotten through an hour and 20 minutes of the show without Jordan ripping off this
all
belt,
of our clothes are on.
Dropping his trowel, tossing me his black NOLA gold cap, and then being incredulous that I would ask what's going on with this, you know, the stickiness. Yeah, why he's scratching his underarms right now? Why are you scratching yourself right now, Tim? What happened last night? I'm trying to watch an NBA playoff game, and apparently pitchers are undressing on the mound.
A scene straight from temper tantrum 101, I guess, you know, stuff that you and I are dealing with 4-year-olds. And that's what you got to say about those guys. You know, it's the rule. You've been asked to get inspected, you know, and if you're going to go off like that, then obviously it must be covering something. You know what I mean? Like, they got away with it. Well, I don't think they were doing it last night, but they've been getting away with it for a long time. And, you know, night one, it was pretty smooth. You know, they started checking guys back on Monday night. Nobody went off like that. Mm-hmm. Nobody was incredulous. And then last night, Sergio Romo and Max Scherzer, a couple of really good pitchers, just decided, yeah, like, hey, enough's enough. We're gonna go off here. I don't know.
My thing, Tim, was I thought it was like once a game and it was at random. I didn't know the manager could keep requesting it. Scherzer got asked 3 times to be checked. This is what he had to say after the game.
The only part that was really sweaty enough on me to be able to grab any type of moisture was on my hair. It wasn't a warm night's night, so the back of my neck really wasn't that sweaty when I tried to get there. And so for me, the only body part that actually had enough sweat on it was my hair. So, you know, that's fortunate tonight, but I mean, this is going to be dangerous when, you know, you're in a cold game and you have no sweat. What do we do then?
Mm. He would like the stickiness. Joe Girardi.
I've seen Max a long time, since 2010. Obviously, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. But I've never seen him wipe his head like he was doing tonight, ever. Going like this, right? So it was suspicious for me. He did it about 4 or 5 times.
Stop.
It was suspicious. I didn't mean to offend anyone. I just got to do what's right for our club.
You know, my good buddy, associate head coach Alan Fry, the Tulane women's basketball program. I know sometimes he listens, Tim. I wonder if, you know, we play a point guard where they got good handles. Like, you know, they're using, you know, stickiness stuff, man, so they don't lose the handle on the basketball. Is this out of control? Is this a little crazy?
It's a little crazy. What should happen is the manager shouldn't be able to request it. This should be just an umpire thing. I know in the one situation with Girardi and Scherzer yesterday, was there was runners at second and third and 2 outs. It was in the middle of a tight situation, and all of a sudden he calls them out. You know, maybe throwing off his rhythm. Maybe he's going to infuriate the pitcher. You know, it was almost gamesmanship. I almost think that if you're a manager and you call it out and the guy is clean, the inning's over. You know, the batter's out. Like, I'm also a person that thinks you get suspended for 5 games and you appeal. and you lose, Major League Baseball or whatever sport should be allowed to up it. Like, you know,
Tim, I like where you're going.
There should be a penalty for appealing.
It's funny you say that. It's funny you say it. I almost threw Jordan out of the room because I thought he was a little ahead of his time, apparently. Now, what?
Yeah, Tim, actually, when we kicked off the show, when we brought up this topic, I was kind of along the same lines of you. Not just the innings over, but maybe if a manager challenges either the first or second time and they're wrong, maybe put a base runner on second to kind of, you're going to be stalling the game.
Maybe it's a strike. Maybe not the innings over. You know what I mean? But there should be a penalty. Or the manager should not be able to ask. It should be just a pure, if the home plate umpire or any of the four umpires on the field see anything that they don't like. Which, you know, in the game that I was broadcasting last night, every pitcher got checked. What was odd about it is they would be checked after an inning was over. You know what I mean? They didn't get checked before they were in. And I was thinking, okay, this is the first time I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
What if a guy just struck out the side and you're checking him now?
Right.
He did have something.
Right.
Like, it's not like the inning's going to restart. Like, you're not, like, going to rewind and go back and replay the inning.
Uh-huh.
I almost think that they need to check him before the inning. But I don't know. I mean, no manager requested it in the game I did. This was more just the umpires doing their due diligence.
So it's happening in the minor league system then. I didn't know that. Okay. So it's happening there as well, too.
I wasn't 100% sure that it was going to happen. And then all of a sudden, at the end of the first inning yesterday, at the top of the – we were a road team. All of a sudden, our pitcher's walking off the field, and all of a sudden, he gets summoned over. And I'm like, oh, this is really happening.
I think this should be a little box.
I'm a little disappointed in Mr. Tim Grubbs on Twitter. You didn't get a screen capture. You weren't ready. I need a screen capture. Oh, you did?
I did.
It didn't pop up on my timeline.
You must have dropped me.
Wow. No, I didn't know. I look at your Twitter timeline the day before we have you on it. I didn't see it. Here we go.
I had a picture. I had a picture of the guy getting his glove inspected. You know, I had to hurry and grab my phone and take a picture.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, is that the I see two umpires and I thought that was a manager. Is that the pitcher?
No, that's the pitcher.
The two umpires and a pitcher
that was getting his glove and. You know, he didn't drop his pants or anything.
I group text during games and stuff. I text, you know, Jordan and Daniel. I'm like, that's what I would have done. I'm like, oh, you want to see? Here you go. And I would have made it a spectacle like that in order to do that. So look, stop it. You're not Jordan. No, that's not a spectacle. That's indecent exposure. What you just did. I'm not gonna say it's taken away, obviously, what the storylines are, but it is a storyline right now for sure. That said, you do have action going on everywhere else. So take a look at the standings, like we like to do every time we have you on in the AL East. It's Yankees. No, it's Jays and Sox, or maybe the Yankees. They're 5.5 back. How do I feel about New York?
Well, I mean, they've been so streaky. The big question mark is what happened to Tampa Bay. You know, Tampa Bay was really good until like a week ago. And
3-7 in their last 10.
Yeah, they lost a starting pitcher and all of a sudden it unraveled. You don't think you lose one starting pitcher and you should go 3-7. So the Rays, I don't know if they're going to go away. But the difference with Tampa as opposed to New York or Toronto or Boston is at the trade deadline, will Tampa make a move? You know, typically they do not, even though they have a tremendous farm system and called up baseball's number one prospect yesterday. He's not a pitcher, so we'll see what happens. But Yankees have been really streaky. They don't score enough runs.
Okay.
But we do know that they'll probably make a trade. So I never rule them out because they are buyers all the time. So they'll probably make a move. And you know, I think Yankees would be right there. And I wouldn't rule out, you know, the other ones too. I think Toronto has been kind of quiet. You know what I mean? And I think they're a team that is still really loaded, and they'll be ready for a big run.
Sox and Indians leading the Central there. 4-6 of the White Sox in the last 10. Indians 6-4. Astros 9-1 in their last 10. They got a one-game lead over the A's. It's really them two and everyone else, right?
Right, yeah. And Houston, I didn't know early in the year if Houston still had it. You know, losing a Springer and a couple other things. But that lineup is loaded. Houston's looks really good. So I think the Astros are here for the long run, that's for sure.
NL East, I feel like anyone can really sort of win it. I mean, the Braves, Phillies, and Nationals are four games back of the Mets, who are 4-6 in their last 10. And out of those four, three came at the expense of the Cubs. Congratulations. Their pitching has been pretty good. You know, DeGrom, I mean, people are calling the best pitcher, like, of all eternity.
All the statistics indicate what Jacob DeGrom does is he's the greatest pitcher. What he does, and I know he's had to leave games because of injuries, but what he has done as a starter is kind of a comparable to what Mariano Rivera would do in an inning. But mm-hmm. he does it 7-8 innings at a time. So it has been very incredible what DeGrom has done. If he stays healthy, the Mets are going to be tough. The Nationals, you know, after a disastrous start, you know, all of a sudden here come the Nats. Part of that thanks to your Cubs, but the Nats are really come on strong, and now instead of them being sellers at the deadline, they may be buyers and be a really tough team in the NL East.
I don't even want to get, you know what, Cubs and Brewers are tied, but when's the trade deadline? Because my happiness may come to an end. When's the trade deadline?
A month from now.
All right, so I got a month to still watch my Cubs, huh?
Right, you got a month, and you know, if the Cubs, if they hang in there, will they make moves? Or you know, anybody that follows the Cubs thinks they're what they want to sell. You know what I mean? I'm talking about the beat writers. When you talk to, when you hear those guys that are on the radio shows or you read their articles, it sounds, you know, the Jesse Rogerses of the world, it sounds like Chicago wants to sell. It does. You know, they either want to win it and have the team that could do it. And if you take a look at their roster, I don't think they're one of the top four teams in the National League, but you know, at times they've played that well and at times they haven't. So yeah, in the next month, I think, you know, Chicago has a lot to figure out. And will St. Louis go get a pitcher? You know, because I still think the Cardinals, I always thought the Cardinals were the best team in there, but you know, when you lose all that pitching, you see what happens.
No doubt. Over in the West, Graf's Dodgers 3 games behind the Giants. Padres, I still think, are pretty good. So we'll see. Got a lot of baseball to be played.
Where did they come from?
No, I know. You know what? Hopefully next week, Tim, we'll talk a lot more in your segment without having to talk about pitchers undressing on the mound. You know? So in the meantime, have a good weekend, sir, and I'll talk to you next week.
Well, I appreciate it, man. It's always good to talk about pitchers undressing. I guess. I don't know.
Exactly. That's Mr. Tim Grubbs. Literally on Twitter, it's at Mr. Tim Grubbs. When we come back, John Hendricks, Sports Illustrated. Put a list of Saints players he thinks will step up this year. And breaking news, kind of, Glenn Gilbo has the very latest on the LSU head baseball coaching search. That's next on ESPN New Orleans.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply, 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
All right, we have goat yoga lattes coming up in the yoga room. Hey, Regan, can you go
at Finley's Fitness? Personal trainers shouldn't have to personally do everything.
Awesome. Engage that core. That class started 2 minutes ago. I am late. Hey, Dylan, can you?
Indeed can help them hire the people they need.
I need Indeed.
Indeed, you do. When you sponsor a job, you immediately get your short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the course keeps changing right before your eyes. Whoa! And in order to maneuver it, you need an expert by your side. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the tech solutions you need to help you get out in front and stay ahead of the game. Whew. For advice on solutions like XPS 13 laptops powered by Intel Evo platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Goodyear knows the importance of keeping momentum as you head down the stretch. Momentum starts with movement. It's pulled from the air like a contested rebound. Momentum builds with steals and fast breaks, and is proven by deep threes as the shot clock expires. Momentum is how we change the game. And now it's time to discover where it can take us. Goodyear, more driven.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
Let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. Phone lines will be open here in about 15 minutes. John J. Hendricks standing by. Give me 15 seconds, John, because Jordan wants to give us the latest. Glenn Gilbo at LSU Beat tweet on Twitter. We're waiting to find out who will be the next head baseball coach over at LSU. Lots of people yesterday were tweeting a lot about Vitello, the Tennessee head baseball coach. Lots of energy. People like him. His team got eliminated yesterday, 2 in barbecue in Omaha. He's not a finalist. Apparently, it's down to 3 per Glenn. Jordan, go.
Yeah, a few minutes ago, the finalists for LSU baseball coaching job are Arizona's Jay Johnson, East Carolina's Cliff Godwin, and Notre Dame's Link Jarrett.
Okay. So we'll talk more about that coming up next segment. Let's bring in Mr. John Hendricks, though, as put up a nice and interesting list today. John J. Hendricks, Saints lead writer, reporter for Saints News over at Sports Illustrated. John, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good, man. Just trying to take a break from playing Ninja Turtles with my boys.
Is that why you were tweeting that picture? I love that. Look, I want to start on with this. I kind of get the sense and feel, and I've had some fun with it. Maddie tells me to calm down when she comes in on Tuesdays, but I would have liked some sort of practice to go on. I wanted some pointless video of Jameis dropping back and dumping it to Kamara with no one covering him. It would have made me feel good, like this team's practicing. And then I saw you retweet Warren Sharp's tweet today of weeks with a winning record since 2016. KC Jordan 63, Rams 62, your Saints 54 weeks with the winning record.
Wow.
Should I be worried or do I need to relax and trust Sean Payton and the Saints?
Yeah, I'd say relax at this point. You know, obviously good things come to those who wait. So, you know, last year we didn't really get to see any of the training camp, but this year promises that we should be able to be back and sweating and having some fun in the sun, if so to speak, and be able to see a lot more. And, you know, I guess Jameis's workout videos are enough to hold me over right now, and I'm just so anxious to see him be on the football field, be in charge, lead the huddle, do some different things. And it's just really going to be exciting, obviously, because there's no Drew Brees. That's all we've known for, you know, 15 plus seasons and such. So, you know, look, I would say, you know, calm a little, you know, on the side, but, you know, at the same time, I think it would go a long way as soon as he does that first thing. Like you said, if it's a dump off to Kamara or something big, then a lot of people are really going to jump on the Jameis Winston train really quickly.
Glad you went there and started that, because I started the show by making fun of Jordan, who was just yucking it up. And among everybody else that commented on the latest Jameis Winston video, what do you mean it's horrible? What is horrible about Jameis?
He's supposed to be avoiding the tackle dummies, not running into them.
Again, John, you've seen the video. Do you think this spells doom for the New Orleans Saints, like everyone else is saying? Because Jameis Winston is, here it is, the audio. There he is. Right in front of the, watch out. Oh, look. Got gloved hand on the ball. Look, at least he's not fumbling, Jordan. That's a good thing. John, what do you make of this video, John?
Yeah, I think so. I think that was the biggest takeaway for me. I get it. He might have been running around and doing things, but, man, he lost some fumbles in his last season in Tampa. And, you know, ball security has been an issue, you know, whether it's Taysom Hill or Winston in the past. So, obviously, you don't want to turn it over by throwing picks. And with Winston, I thought that was the biggest takeaway for me, is that I was watching his hands, watching his movement. They were trying to get the ball out, and, you know, depending, I know the Saints have two amazing tackles in Ryan Ramczyk and Teron Armstead, and I would be a little bit more concerned if that pressure was coming up the interior, if you will, too. But, you know, it's something I think is value added in that. I'm not too worried about him running into tackle dummies, but, you know, this is the point of the season that we're at in the NFL league year, is we're overanalyzing some type of video that comes out on mid-June, and we really
yes.
need football back.
That's right. That's right. We're inside of 5 weeks, John. I'm counting, believe me. What is it? Probably Thursday, right? The last Thursday in training camp. We don't have the dates yet, but it's normally around that time. All right, look, man, you wrote on SI.com 4 Saints that you think could have breakout years in 2021. I keep calling this team as a potential playoff team. And the reason I say that is because I think they do have potential. And that's not a bad thing, but there's a lot of I need to see first in a lot of these players. And going over your list, look, you not only give me four, but then you give me, like, you know, basically, as you call it, stockwatch guys on other players, too. It's a lot of players, John. That's why I kind of say potentially playoff. But let's go through some of your four. And I love how you start, because it does start with this guy, Cesar Ruiz.
Yeah, look, I think for him, you know, the good news is we're hearing a lot of good things so far. And, again, I get it. It's early and all this other stuff. But, you know, I'd say counterpoints to that is guys like Marcus Davenport, who haven't really been in an off-season program or done anything like that. I mean, good news and good movement is obviously a good thing. And you got to remember, Dan Ruschard is not their offensive line coach anymore. He kind of moved on and obviously backfilling some with Dan Campbell leaving and such. But Brendan Nugent's there and Zach Strief's there. I just really feel like Ruiz, he was thrown into a situation last year where, look, I think they really thought he was going to push Eric McCoy for the center job. But everything I was told is that McCoy was just playing too well, and there was no reason to move him out of that center position. So for Ruiz, I think he's got a lot of good things ahead of him, and that's just one side of the ball. You know, Andres Pete, I know fans are going to have their own opinions about Pete, you know, whether it's negative or negative, right? But with Ruiz, he's a guy that I think is really going to elevate his game a good bit.
I think that is interesting because, remember, they drafted him to be the center and try to move forward and do that. If you can get that line figured out and, you know, not have those issues, it should be a good offensive line. You know, one of the other things, though, John, that Saints fans for a couple of years were, who's the number two receiver, John? Where they found one, Emmanuel Sanders. But because of the money, they had to get rid of him. So now we're back at it again. Who's the number two receiver? I like what I see from Marquez Callaway, but you put on four players that you think have a breakout season. Tre'Quan Smith, why?
Yeah, well, and it's funny you mentioned that, because with Thomas getting hurt last year and being out of the mix, Sanders ended up becoming your number one receiver, right? And so that was just kind of a weird thing in itself. But, you know, I fully expect him to bounce back. But, look, again, Tre'Quan Smith, the Saints are very high on him, right? And, you know, I get it. This is a guy who, I mean, hasn't really done anything from a stat line. He did have 50 targets last season and had a career high in 34 receptions. I like the work he's putting in with Jameis Winston. That's always a good sign. But, you know, you got to remember, too, with this team, no matter who's going to play quarterback, whether it's Taysom or Jameis, I feel like the Saints are going to be able to push the ball down the field a good bit and take some shots. And, you know, you got to remember last year, Drew basically came in to Sean and said, you know, here's the things I can do, here are the things I can't do. And the offense was kind of tailored around that. So I expect him to take some training wheels off, run the offense like we're probably accustomed to seeing. I think Tre'Quan Smith, he's also in a contract year. We saw what Trey Hendrickson did last year. We saw Von Bell the year before, right? And just all these different pieces that typically they do well in contract years. So I would expect Smith, probably not necessarily say he's going to be a 1,000-yard receiver. Mm-hmm. I think more ceiling of 750, 800 yards, but have a lot more scores and a lot more targets and looks this year.
I like Troutman. I like the size. I like the athleticism. I like the fact that he's just kind of still learning to grow into that position. And this offense and Sean's kind of used the tight end before in the past. And oh, by the way, I don't know who else is tight ends, you know, with the Saints. But I like Troutman, man. You think he can be a good player?
Yeah, look, I love what I've seen out of Troutman. And look, you know, you saw some of it in the Bucs game. You saw some of the playoffs. You just see some things, his athleticism. And I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, this guy's like Jimmy Graham reincarnated, because that's always the metric and standard that Saints tight ends have to add up to. It was Kobe Fleener before. It was Jared Cook. You know, you had a whole bunch of mixed in there. But, you know, you got to remember, Jared Cook's gone. Josh Hill's gone. You know, you brought Nick Vannette in for free agency. He's more known as a blocking guy, but I've obviously going to get some looks. And, you know, Jameis Winston likes his tight ends. O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate were huge for him in 2019. They had 70 receptions that year, and that was 18% of Winston's 380 completions. So, look, I think Troutman has a lot to offer as a receiver, mm-hmm. big fish, as we call him, right? And, look, I would say, you know, I've told people in fantasy, he's a guy that's a sleeper. He's not really ranked high right now. He's a guy that you really want to keep an eye on, because I think he's destined for some really good things, particularly in the red zone offense.
Skill positions, John, are very easy to kind of look at guys that need to step up and do things. I want to say a week and a half ago, so we were talking about something, a question that, like, which Saint you think needs to be the guy or something. And or it's important that needs to have a big year. And I said, whoever replaces Malcolm Brown, who's Malcolm Brown's role? Who's the guy that helps you stop the run? And lo and behold, I read your stuff, man, and there's Shy Tuttle. Look, I already love the guy because he gave Noodle Arm a stiff arm, but whoever that is, you think is a key role, don't you?
Yeah, I do, because David Onyemata is obviously, I think you could put him in himself for a breakout candidate, but obviously he's going to be that guy that sees a lot of snaps. But the vacancy left behind Brown is Tuttle and Malcolm Roach. And again, you know, everything I've heard, Saints are very high on these guys, and they're undrafted guys. I mean, they're guys that you just weren't thinking about too much of and stuff. Malcolm Roach played extremely well last season. Shy Tuttle did pretty well, too. I mean, these are guys that I think are obviously, they may split some time, and then there's obviously some extra factors of how this interior line shapes up. But look, I think he's the guy that's going to start plugging the run, and you know, I mean, again, you saw the impact that was felt when Malcolm Brown was out of the picture. Those two games, I mean, the Eagles just absolutely tore him up on the ground, right? And so finally got that silly stat out of the way about the 100-yard rushers and stuff. So I think Tuttle, though, he's a guy that, again, going to another season, his third year, I think he's really going to come into his own. I think he's going to be the favorite to start opposite of Onyemata. And I really think he's going to do pretty well there at that position. But, again, it all remains to be seen, and there's plenty of guys that are going to look to chomp at the bit to try to take it from him.
At John J. Hendricks, the way to follow John over on Twitter, covers the Saints for Sports Illustrated. Go check it out, the rest of that article, and read what he has to say on the Stockwatch portion of it. Winston Callaway, Deontay Harris, Malcolm Roach, and Davenport, give me your best 10 seconds why I should have any hope on Marcus Davenport.
Look, I think he's actually starting to focus more on football, and I know that sounds so crazy, but you know, looking at what he said off the field in a recent interview a few months ago, he's talking about how much the media and critics were getting to him. So I think this is his year, and he's going to live up to some expectations.
Okay. All right. John, thank you for your time today, sir. Appreciate it, sir.
Thank you so much.
Happy as always. Thanks, guys.
Yep, for sure. I want to say hello to my buddy Glenn Tapman listening, Jordan, as he's making some groceries on his way to see his mom, making some very important groceries, picking up some yeah, that's exactly
what
I
thought. That's what it was. Yeah. But we have some big coming out of this break.
Always good to hear from
we have some big news from Adrian Wojnarowski.
Oh, we got a Woj bomb? Is it a Woj bomb?
It's not a Woj bomb.
Is it a smoke bomb?
But I think.
Is it a fire? Is it a black cat?
You're in the
is
position.
Is it a Woj black cat?
No, it's
give
not
me some
like
firework
insane.
Terms because July 4th is coming. Next weekend, by the way. Do you fireworks?
Yeah, I mean, occasionally. I mean, we don't usually, like, our family doesn't buy them. We should go somewhere.
Wow. See, you're a moocher.
No, because then we bring stuff.
Fan? Oh, do you? I doubt it. Sports Hangover continues next on the Yes Virginia War. Say tonight. Fight the break of
dawn. Come tomorrow. Summer heat is approaching, and so are the red hot deals. Red hot deals at Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Shop online at gregleblanctoyota.com or at the store. Great offers like the sporty 21 Toyota Camry or the Corolla with class-leading gas mileage and complimentary 2-year maintenance, or the stylish and dependable 2021 RAV4 and Highlander. Stop by Greg LeBlanc Toyota and make this a summer to remember with your new Toyota. Only at your number one volume dealer in Houma. Greg LeBlanc Toyota.
This is Renee.
Happy to be here.
She's not some influencer. She's more of a groundbreaker, turning her 4-acre lot into a little slice of heaven behind the wheel of a John Deere 1 Series tractor. Renee runs with us because the most important job is the next one.
That's all I got.
Nothing runs like a deer. Hear Renee's story at deer.com.
Run with us. Visit Houma Tractor today, next to the tunnel.
Archie Manning here for Thibodeau Regional. In the Manning household, we're pretty serious about sports. And just like the team at the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional, we're also very serious about sports safety. As the region's leader in First Comprehensive Sports Medicine Program, they've been in the game longer with certified athletic trainers, fellowship-trained sports medicine physicians, and neuro-sports-trained experts. So play hard, play to win, but play it safe with the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional.
Friends, if you're in a job you can't stand or worried your unemployment benefits will be ending, you need to go to mycomputercareer.edu and fill out the free career evaluation form. I've personally spoken to them, and apparently, employers are lining up to hire their graduates. In as little as 4 months, you could start your career in the growing cybersecurity and networking fields. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Tell them Max sent you.
Come on, citizen!
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengap.
Open phone lines this segment, 800-998-1003. Still got a couple of top stories that we want to touch on, but again, Glenn Gilbo breaking it just a few minutes ago at LSU Beat Tweets. He's been on this for a while. The finalists for the LSU baseball coaching job are Arizona's Jay Johnson, East Carolina's Cliff Godwin, and Notre Dame's Link Jarrett, another Notre Dame head coach. They were in regional play and action this year, made it to Supers. And that's apparently where, again, lots of, hey, Vitello was offered. I saw this on Twitter. Again, it's just people that, and I'm not going to say just because you don't have a blue check mark, I can trust or not trust you.
Yeah.
No, I just, you can't say that because a lot of time people that have the blue check mark tweet things and you roll your eyes.
But you listen.
But there was a lot of smoke yesterday that the night before an offer was made, $2 million to Vitello and all this other, that's why I didn't say it on the show. I'm like, you don't know. But there was a lot of people that believe that that could have been the case, but that Knoxville was going to do whatever it could to keep him. You wonder if that was the case because they got pieced out last night or yesterday afternoon. So, look, Cliff Godwin has been the one name that's been around the last couple of weeks. My only thing with that is this. If it's been the one name that's been around the last 3 weeks, why hasn't he been offered it? I mean, again, Wilson Alexander was on yesterday. Whether you want to get technical of, you know, let me make my sound effects here because, you know, we spare no expense, Sports Hangover. You know, whether or not you got a sheet of paper to actually look at in a contract.
The numbers.
Because I see a lot yesterday. Well, you know, nothing was really offered. Okay, well, if I'm calling you and I'm saying, would you like the coaching job? Are you interested? I'm talking to you, right? I mean, do we want to get technical? Like, well, it's 4 years, you know, whatever, 0.5 million or whatever. Two at least have gotten that far. We know of several or at least, again, two or three that actually interviewed and went to Baton Rouge. We know that. Now, again, some of these coaches have been coaching and are still currently coaching, whether it's in the Super Regionals and now Omaha. I still heard some LSU fans this morning on some shows just waiting on Corbin. Why? Why would he leave? I'm asking you why. Bianco, and others didn't leave their programs. A guy that's won two in the last several years, 14 and 19, and is still playing. Why? So it is interesting. Again, that's what I said. I would have looked at this as an opportunity to sit down and try to find the best, the brightest, the hungriest, the youngest, or just somebody that's won somewhere and look to this as a step up instead of, you know, what is splash hire, big hire and all this stuff. College baseball's changed. You need somebody that understands that. Are these three coaches among them? Cliff Godwin's won a lot at ECU. Arizona made a little run this year, right? So, and then look again, Notre Dame has made it into the postseason this year as well. So, but anyway, that's what Glenn Gilbo is tweeting out there and putting out there. These are the three right now words boiled down to. The sources requested anonymity at LSU as LSU has not released information on the candidates. Johnson, 44, interview with LSU Athletics Director Scott Woodward on Tuesday. That's Arizona's Jay Johnson. So per Glenn Gilbo, he interviewed with Scott Woodward yesterday. And Jarrett, Link Jarrett from Notre Dame, 49, also interviewed in recent days, the sources have said. So per Glenn Gilbo's story, Godwin and now Johnson and Jarrett all have spoken with LSU. They've interviewed. Johnson, per Gilbo, interviewed after his Arizona team was eliminated from the College World Series by Stanford on Monday. Johnson led the Wildcats to the CWS for the second time since becoming coach in 2016. Arizona won the Pac-12. They were 21-9 the season in conference play, finished 49-24. And Johnson's first season in 2016, he reached the CWS Championship Series before losing to Coastal Carolina. We all remember that year. 2-1. Arizona reached an NCAA regional in 2017. Didn't reach the postseason in 18 and 19. He's a native of California. He played at Shasta College in Redding, California. He was an assistant at San Diego, 06 through 13. Coached at Nevada, 14 and 15, before taking the Arizona job in 16. Godwin, we've kind of known from him for a while with what he's been able to do with ECU. He lost to Vandy in the Super Regionals. And as far as Jarrett, he got the Irish 34-13 this year to a Super Regional in his second season for the first time since 2002 for the Irish. Jarrett also delivered Notre Dame's first conference title since 2006. Both, by the way, the CWS and conference title, Paul Maneri, the last head coach to do that at Notre Dame. He's a native of Tallahassee, Florida. Jarrett played at Florida State as a shortstop, 91-94. He's an assistant there in 2003. An assistant at ECU in Auburn before becoming coach at North Carolina Greensboro, 2013 through 19. And he took over that UNC Greensboro program per Gilbo, had losing seasons overall, and he produced four winning seasons from 16 to 19. So kind of showing a little bit of a track record there. So those are your three finalists right now per Glenn Gilbo on that aspect of it. Now, Jacques Doucet is going to follow us today, guest hosting for Matt Moscona on AFR. No doubt he will have some info on this. You know, Jacques.
Oh, yeah. He's
tied in as anybody else I know.
Basically like the front office.
I'm sure he will have some comment on this. But again, Tiger fans, it looks like it's one of these three gentlemen, and all three have interviewed and spoken to LSU. The two latest that have, Johnson from Arizona, Jay Johnson, and Link Jarrett from Notre Dame, joining ECU's Cliff Godwin, who's already spoken to them a couple weeks back. So there you go. Love to hear from you, Tiger fans, what you think about the search and where it's at now. Are you cool with that? I know a lot of you guys wanted, whether it's Corbin or Vitello or Mississippi State's coach. These are the three that Glenn's saying it's down to. And I'm assuming since all three teams are no longer playing, the decision you would think would be coming soon, especially since Wilson Alexander put out yesterday that the incoming recruits are about to come to campus soon, and they'd like to know who the head coach is. So my guess, Jordan, is by Friday we'll find out who the head coach is.
One of the three.
Again, if they interviewed yesterday, they're probably, what, discussing it today? An offer today? If you've already spoken to your three finalists, and yesterday you spoke to two of those three, I would think you would know who you want by today. And then you do the offer, right?
There's been one consistent throughout this whole process.
I would be shocked if by tomorrow's show we don't have some sort of sense in word that an offer's been given, at least. I would be absolutely shocked if we end the show Friday at 3 and there's not a new head baseball coach. My guess. I don't know. What do I know? Hour two is in the books, though. Hour three coming up next. Coach G is going to join us at 2:30, kind of talk about the Euros. Some big games, including France and Portugal.